بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد. You're watching Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live right now today. We're right here in Southern California, Upland, as opposed to Downland. Okie dokie. This is your host, Yusuf Esses, the National Muslim Chaplain. We're here, and this is a new center you have here, isn't it? How old is this?
1 month.
1 month old, so it's actually 1 month new, really. And it's cool. We got a lot of brothers and sisters here today, and inshallah, we want to share something beautiful from Islam with everybody. There are a lot of misconceptions about Islam and the Muslims these days. We see people talking about Islam in a very, very harsh way, negative way. So we thought that what we would do is take the time to discuss some of the things about Islam and show something beautiful. Earlier on, we had one of our brothers read to us from the Quran, from Surah Al-Rahman. And with this surah, I believe, offers us a great opportunity to show people what we believe and what we believe about Allah and what we believe about Islam. And I'm going to quote to you from the Quran. There will be some Arabic as we go along here, and I'll try to give some translation of it. I'm going to try my best to pronounce it right too, but I am from Texas, so I do have a handicap when it comes to speech. Alhamdulillah. So we'll begin where Allah begins. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ar-Rahman. Alimul Quran. Khalaqal insan. I'm going to stop there and start giving some meaning to what we heard. Because for a lot of folks, they don't realize what we have in Islam is something very beautiful. They ask us many times, what is the promise in Islam for any salvation? And this is important for us to think about. Because in some religions, they have some way to get salvation by praying to animals or praying to statues or, you know, devices that they have. And other religions, they have God actually coming down the ground and becoming a man and dying for their sins. And that's their salvation. So what is the salvation in Islam? It's important for us to know and important for us to be able to share this information with other people. And so let's examine what Allah says here in the Quran. This is chapter 55 of the Quran. It's called Ar-Rahman. Allah begins this chapter or surah with the words, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. So we already learned something. Allah, Almighty God, is calling Himself gracious and He's merciful. We know many names of Allah. In fact, we say we have the 99 names of Allah. I wanted to mention this today because He's talking about in Himself in His own book here. He's talking about one of His names called Ar-Rahman, the Merciful, the Beneficent. He says, Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent. And who is that? That's Allah. He's talking about Himself. He said He has taught you, He's given you the knowledge of the Quran. And this is in His rahmah that He gives you this knowledge of the Quran. Then He said, Khalaqal insan. And it means He created the human beings. And He taught him eloquent speech. Who taught us how to speak? Allah. He also told us in another part of the Quran, He's the one who taught man by the use of the pen. Taught him what he didn't know. Who is this? This is the merciful, the most merciful, Ar-Rahman. Then He continues and He says, the sun and the moon are running on fixed courses exactly calculated with measured out stages for each. Now I want you to remember that the Quran was revealed 1,400 years ago. Before people even knew the earth was round. People didn't even know there were orbits for the earth. They didn't know the sun, how it worked. They thought everything was going around the earth. That's what they thought, isn't it? But here Allah has talked already about the science. Some people have called this surah, this chapter of the Quran, the chapter of science. Because there are many scientific things in this chapter that we're going to discover this morning, inshallah. And Allah continues, and He speaks immediately after talking about the universe, about the sun and about the moon. He changes the subject and goes to the herbs and the trees. The herbs and the trees fall prostrate. Means they make sajda. They pray. They fall down in front of Allah. Look at that. And the heaven, it is Allah who raised it up high. And He's the one who set up al-mizan. A mizan means a scale or a balance. Have you seen those scales where you put something on one side or something on the other? Like a teeter-totter. Have you seen those boards you play with at school? You sit on one side, somebody's on the other side? That's called mizan, the balance. In order that you will not transgress the balance. And He asks you to observe the weight with equity to make this balance so that it's not deficient. Allah is showing you how to keep everything in balance, to consider this. And the earth that He has put on this earth, creatures, and therein He also put fruits and date palms, and He produced the covered fruit stalks, such as dates. He also made corn with its leaves and stalk for fodder for the animals and sweet-smelling plants. Then He asks you the question that you hear over and over throughout this surah. فَبِأَيَّ اللَّهِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors, which of the blessings of your Lord will then you deny? After Allah has given you all of this, what will you deny? Will you give the lie, the kadhib? Will you be a liar about what He has given you? He created man from a sounding clay like the clay of pottery. And the jinns, He created them from a smokeless fire. Now which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? He is the Lord of the two easts and the Lord of the two wests. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? He is the one who has let loose the two seas that meet together, but between them is a barrier which neither of them can transgress. Now which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Now this particular one, we're going to stop here for a minute. We're going to talk about the two seas that come together. How many of you heard about Jacques Cousteau? And he does these presentations about underwater. He talks about things in the many unusual things that happen underwater. He had programs on during the 70s. He wanted to do a special about something. He found that where the Mediterranean Sea feeds out into the Atlantic Ocean, that actually there were two bodies of water that never did resolve. The one from the Mediterranean had its own temperatures, its own salinity, means how much salt it had in it. And the one from the other side, from the Atlantic side, had a different temperature and a different level of salt content. And the animals and the plants that are existing in one are not existing in the other. These were two separate bodies of water mixed onto each other, but they don't really mix together. And he wanted to do a special about that until one of his workers, who was a Muslim, said, "We already know that. It's in the Quran, in Surah Al-Rahman. And Allah said it in there, that He is the one who let loose the two seas that meet together, but between them is a barrier, which neither of them transgress." And then Allah says it again, فَبِأَيَّ اللَّهِ رَبِّكُمْ أَتُكَذِبَانِ. Which then of the favors of your Lord will you deny? He continues and he said, out of both of them come pearl and coral, lu'lu' wal marjan. Now I want to share something else with you. When we talk about lu'lu', did you know the word for pearls in Arabic is lu'lu'? The word for right here, if I say here, I say hana. I mean here, don't I? So I'm going to ask you to think for a minute. 1,000 years ago, some Chinese Muslims were traveling to the east from where they lived, and they wound up on an island, and they found many pearls on that particular island, and they said in Arabic, this is where the pearls are. And today we still call it by its name, Honolulu. Honolulu, Hawaii, was discovered by the Muslims over 1,000 years ago. MashaAllah, walhamdulillah. Fabi ayya Allah, ya Rabbi kumatu kadiban. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? SubhanAllah walhamdulillah. And His are the ships going and coming in the seas like mountains. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Whatsoever is on the earth will perish, and the face of your Lord, full of majesty and honor, will abide forever. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Whatever is in the heavens and on the earth begs of Him. The needs of all the creation beg from Allah. And every day He has a matter to bring forth. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? He shall attend to you. Mankind and jinn, which then are the favors of your Lord will you then deny? O you assembly of mankind and jinn, if you have the power to pass beyond the heavens and the earth, then try to pass beyond it. Go out of the atmosphere if you can, and you'll never do that. You will never transgress the atmosphere of the earth, illad bi sultan, except with a mighty authority from Allah. And I'm going to stop again and ask you to think about this one. Does it take a lot of energy? Does it take a lot of power to put a rocket ship into outer space? Oh yes. A great, great authority. A great power. And where does that power come from? From Allah. And when we measure our fuel, I noticed the gas prices on the way over here today. It's a little bit high, isn't it? A lot of money for gas. You buy your gas by the gallon here, and if you're in some of the other countries, you buy it by the liter, don't you? But if you're NASA and you're buying fuel for a rocket ship, you buy it by the ton. The fuel for a rocket ship is bought by the ton. It takes tons and tons and tons of fuel, and it costs billions of dollars. And then when they set it off and it goes up, 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 you look at the bottom of that rocket ship and these clouds, huge clouds, billowing out from under there just to put that rocket ship into outer space. And Allah says, oh, you assembly of mankind and jinn, try to go out of the earth's atmosphere. Try to break through this atmosphere of the heavens and the earth, and you will never do it. Illa bi sultan. Fabi ayi ala irabbikum atukadiban. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? There will be sent against you both smokeless flames of fire and brass, and you will not be able to defend yourselves. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Then when the heaven is rent asunder, that means torn in half, when it's cut up, and it becomes rosy or red like red oil or red hide, then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? What is Allah talking about? Well, maybe we'll find out soon enough. The point is, Allah is warning you and warning all of us, be careful. There's a day coming. A big day is coming. So on that day, no question will be asked of man or jinn as to his sin, because they will already know, and their faces will be white or black. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? The Mujri moon, that means those who are the criminals, the sinners, those who worship partners with Allah, will be known by their marks, their black faces, and they will be seized by their nasiya, their forelocks, and by their feet. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? This is hell, which the Mujri moon, the polytheists, the mushrikeen, etc., the criminals, they denied this. They will go between it, the hell, and the boiling hot water. Then, which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? But for him, the one who didn't set up partners with Allah, he believed in Allah, and he believed in the Prophet ﷺ, and he kept away from bad. For him who fears the standing before his Lord, there will be two gardens in paradise. Which then are the favors of your Lord will you then deny? With spreading branches, then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? In them both will be two springs flowing free. Which then of the favors will you then deny? And in both of them will be every kind of things in pairs. Which then of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Reclining on the couches lined with silk brocade, fruits of the two gardens near at hand, which of the favors will you then deny? Wherein both will be those maidens restraining their glances upon their husbands, whom no man or jinn has ever touched before them. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you then deny? In beauty they are like rubies and coral. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Is there any reward for good other than good? Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? And besides these two, there are two other gardens in paradise. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Dark green in color. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? In them both there will be two springs gushing forth water. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? In them both will be fruits and date palms and pomegranates. Which then of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Therein gardens will be fair, wives good and beautiful. Which of your the favors of your Lord will you then deny? The Horlain, which is the beautiful, fair maidens, restrained in pavilions. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Whom no man or jinn has ever touched before them. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Reclining on green cushions and comfortable mattresses. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? Blessed be the name of your Lord, the owner of majesty and honor. I want to share with you that this surah is probably one of the more familiar surahs to the Muslims because of the beauty, the style, the way it's recited over and over. So many of those who recite Quran love to recite this. It has a deep meaning, it has science in it, but it also has some things that have brought up some question marks from those who want to slander Islam and attack Islam, and they say, what is this stuff about virgins in your paradise? What are you guys talking about? Are you some kind of sick people? So what we want to know from this, how do we explain these things to these people? And that's what we're going to spend a couple of minutes talking about right now, inshallah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we're broadcasting right now all the way from Upland here in California. Sunny California. Not very sunny today, though, is it? This is your host, Yusuf Estes. If you just tuned in, I want to remind you to visit our internet website. It's open 24 hours a day, anytime. And share the link with others. Ask them to come and visit here with us as well. The subject we're talking about now is, what do we say to the people who attack Islam and they say, what is this in your Quran talking about virgins, talking about all of these, women in the paradise and all that? It sounds like you guys have some kind of mental problem. Well, if you understand the Quran and read it in the context, the whole Quran, you'll understand it's a very beautiful thing. Because Allah has already explained the things in the paradise are not like the things here. I want to give you an example of food, though, because Allah spent a lot of time talking about food in the paradise. He talked about food here. If you read Juz'ama, the last part of the Quran, you find immediately in Amma Yatasa'alun, Allah speaks about the subject of the fruits and the vegetables and the things that He's brought forth. In Surah Abasa, He speaks about it again. And He's talking about these fruits of the earth, so to speak, in a very positive way and explain it. He's the one that brings it forth. But when He speaks about it, when He talks about the food in the paradise, our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, made it clear to us, so there's no doubt in our mind, it's not the same as the food here. And your body is not the same as your body is there. So everything here is imperfect. Here, when you eat food, sometimes it's dirty, sometimes you can get sick from it, sometimes you feel good from it, but, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen next when you eat food. There, the food is always perfect. There's no imperfection whatsoever in paradise. Your body is also perfect. Here, when you eat food, it has to go through you and it becomes disgusting. You don't even think about it, right? But in the paradise, this is not the way your food is assimilated. You eat, but when the food circulates through you, it doesn't have to give you nourishment because you're already nourished by Allah. You don't need to eat. You eat because you like it. Here you have to eat or you'll die, but there is no death in the next life. And when the food comes back out of you, it comes out in a nice way, because it comes out through the pores in your skin as a vapor or gas, and then it reassembles itself as the original item, because it's not the same as here. Totally different. An amazing place. You can't even imagine how wonderful it is. And in the same way we just talked about the food, the same is for the rest of the body. So when a man talks about being with his beautiful wives there, he's not talking about some animal kind of a relationship that we have here. It's more magnificent. It's more beautiful. It's more fulfilling. And if you said, well, is it physical? It's more than physical. Because there you have a perfect body, and she has a perfect body, and that's what Allah described. And you're not having to come together to have babies, because that's not what it's all about there. It's to be together for love, for good feeling, for peace, and it's a kind of a relationship that doesn't exist here, so how can you even begin to talk about it? It's what you dream about. It's what you really want. And we're not talking about these sicko dreams that people have and stupid things. This is something beautiful. And your Lord is telling you about this. And then He asks you, which of the favors will you then deny? And so let's stop arguing about something that's good for you and accept that this is a favor for all. And they said, well, what about the women? And Allah has for the women much more than they can even begin to dream about. Even the jewel box that's made for them to hold their jewels is more beautiful than any of the jewelry here. And that's just her jewel box. She has a beautiful home that's like the inside of a pearl. And she has those to wait on her and to care for her, and people loving her and being with her, and she's close to Allah. And that's the same thing the man has, because the man and the women both want the same thing in Islam. We want to see Allah. We want to be close to Allah. And that's the ultimate goal of all Muslims, is to be close to their Creator and Sustainer. This is what we're after. And to put these materialistic kind of ideas on the paradise is foolish. To put an idea here that, you know, this is all about guys chasing girls around and having harems and things like this. I'm sorry for you if you have this kind of idea. It's much, much more than that. It's a love, and it's a good feeling, and it's very gratifying because it doesn't end. It doesn't end. It goes on and on and on, and it's very rewarding. And this is promised to only those who are the believers, who believe in Allah, and they do good works, and they don't deny the favors of Almighty Allah. So may Allah make us of those people who accept what He's offered us. And may Allah make us of those people who respect Him as who He is, Ar-Rahman, the Merciful, the Gracious, the Beneficent. Ameen. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We'll be back with more after this.